Peace and love. Peace and love.
Welcome to this neighborhood, neighbor.
My mom always said, life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
You know what I am? I'm a housewife that figured it out. Wow, 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 wow!
And now, here's the host of Good Things Radio, Brooke Taylor.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to episode number 51 of Good Things Radio. My name is Brooke Taylor. Happy Easter to you. Dolly Parton, He's Alive from 1989. That's a live clip from the CMA Awards way back when. And she's one of our favorites. And I say we because Mom is back in the house. Welcome, Mom.
Thank you. Happy Easter, everyone.
You had a great takeaway about Easter and what it means to celebrate the octave, because we look at Holy Week in this long 40 days that culminates in Easter Sunday. But you had a great reminder when we were getting everything ready in the kitchen that on Easter Sunday, it doesn't just end. You know, it's not like we grieve and mourn and we feel this darkness and sadness on Good Friday. And then Easter Sunday, we wake up with joy and it's all wrapped up in a bow. Life certainly isn't like that. And Easter's not like that. So could you explain what the octave and the full Easter season is?
Well, I've taken it to heart because I've been told and taught over and over again by many different priests in different parishes about needing just to recognize that it's Easter Monday and then it's Easter Tuesday. And as Jesus took one by one or small groups that he appeared to, different places, different ways, that we need to just settle in and recognize that and imagine it, if we would, picture it. That's a good way, another way to pray.
That's really good. And it's different every year. The seasons are different and your life is different.
Yes.
But I was talking to my friend Jen and she was talking about trying to be happy on Easter. She's gone through a devastating year. And it made me think about Mary, because I thought, although she witnessed all that had been foretold and promised to see that it was true, she still must have, for the rest of her life, really missed her son. And that reality, and I know Mary is Mary, so of course she's not any average woman, but we know that she had sorrow and that she carried that. So I think, once again, what a beautiful example she is of our humanness, our humanity, and yes, the grieving process, and yes, also the hope for heaven.
Right.
And so that's Easter. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that. Of course, Divine Mercy Sunday is coming up. So on the program today, Father Nathan Crowley will join us to tell us, what is Divine Mercy Sunday? Why do we celebrate it? Why is it important? So he's got another Padre in Your Pocket snippet, and also keeping your sanity during spring break. Please, all of our kids are off right now and it's been going well, but you know, the week can get long. So we've got some tips to make it fun. Also, listener feedback and the death of a saint, a spunky sister, Mother Angelica. We're blessed to live just down the road from where she was born and raised, and also took her solemn vows at Santa Clara Monastery, being a Poor Clare nun. And there are so many twists and turns in her life that are fascinating. So we're just going to take a minute to honor her and to touch on that. But Mom, I wanted to ask you, as your first appearance on the show since the retreat, you were at Arise. Could you quickly share your perspective? We didn't do the interpretive dance that we had talked about. We had maybe a puppet show. You have a lot of tricks up your sleeve you've done over the years. We didn't do it. Nevertheless, did you have a good time?
Had a wonderful time. And it was a perspective, and I loved that Jamie had the camera eye that captured so many different aspects of the whole entire retreat. But for me, as I recognized at some point that I was probably the senior person there age-wise, it made my heart so happy that God gave me an opportunity to listen to different people at different times, especially when you mixed up the tables. And it was like, wow, that the night and the conversation just evolved into ways that we connected in a passionate way. But
yeah, we did that intentional. It sounds like a whoopsie, but it was what we did is we took name cards. Because, you know, you might know a few people and that's your comfort zone, want to sit by them.
Right.
So what we did is at dinner time, twice during the retreat, we put name cards out so that people would have to mingle, but in a good way. Everybody was so willing and enjoying that. And I think that if there was a takeaway that maybe we try to do more of next year, it's almost impossible to say, I wish we would have had more social time, but ladies do like to talk. And I felt like we had no problem connecting, don't you think?
True, definitely. Yes.
So your takeaway, you said too, was about the companionship of how important recognizing at that age companionship is.
It's true. And in the connectiveness of whether each individual woman has a great thriving community that's around them or whether they're struggling in that area and really have looked and found within the podcast that there's a community there that identifies with who she is and the struggles that she has. And so I just think that as Father Nathan taught, and then we had time, quiet time, within outside or within the chapel, just to really let Jesus mend as well as give balm and nurture our souls, our minds, and our hearts, because we know where our help comes from.
Well, the mail must go through, the mail must go through. No matter if it rains or snows, the mail must go through.
Good morning, Brooke. It's Vicki. I just wanted to leave you some feedback about the last two shows. First of all, I felt so privileged and honored to be able to help out at the retreat. And I'm so grateful to you for all the hard work that you did. And I really felt like every conversation and connection that was made was definitely guided by the Holy Spirit. There were so many beautiful ladies there, and it was just such an awesome weekend. And I was so glad to hear that Father Nathan was rejuvenated and not exhausted because his passion for the Eucharist is awesome. And everything that he did for us between the stations and the rosary and mass and adoration was just incredible. Also, when Father Nathan mentioned to pray always, it reminded me of something I read and I use often. And it goes like this, that I thank God for laundry so that because my kids have clean clothes to wear. I thank God for a very far away parking spot because I'm healthy and able to walk. And I thank God for dirty dishes because it means my kids have food to eat. And lastly, I just wanted to make a quick comment about Easter. I was privileged enough to attend the Easter Vigil Mass, and we had seven young adults, children and adults total, that joined our church family by receiving their sacraments. And it was such an awesome experience to be able to share that with them and to share that with my family. I absolutely love that Mass, and I would encourage anyone who is willing and able to bring your kids, let them see the beautiful, beautiful ceremonies that occur on that night. And the kids love it especially because they get to light candles. And even if they don't make it all the way through the Mass, eventually they will, and I think they'll really come to appreciate it. So until next time, take care and God bless.
Thank you, Vicki. And coming up this weekend, if you are listening to this in real time, where we're posting it in just a few days before Divine Mercy Sunday, we are going to read the gospel about Doubting Thomas from the book of St. John, chapter 20, 19 through 31. Just want to share a portion of it for you to think about, for letting that seed kind of get into your heart and consider it. It says this: Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger into the nail marks, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now a week later, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, although the doors were locked, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and bring your hand and put it into my side. And do not be unbelieving, but believe." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you come to believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed."
My name is Thomas, and I struggle with doubt. I followed Jesus for years, from the very first day he called me. I saw things so amazing they defied explanation. I believed. But then things fell apart. I witnessed the betrayal that led to the cruel march to Calvary and his agonizing crucifixion. I survived, but everyone I knew scattered. My world collapsed. Then came news of the empty tomb, the very first Easter. But I resisted. The image of his broken, lifeless body was still burned into my memory. I experienced his death, and I couldn't believe. Not until I see the scars with my own eyes and touch them with my own hands, I told the others. I wasn't ready to put my trust in something again. But Jesus came to me. He knew my doubts. He even named them. But he wasn't angry. He didn't rebuke me or dismiss me. He looked at me with those familiar eyes and offered me his scarred hands and side. In that moment, I experienced his resurrection, and I believed. I know firsthand it's difficult to believe in what you can't see. And yet all around you are people whose lives and stories have scars that bear witness to the meaning of Easter. Yes, these people have been wounded, but they've experienced redemption and healing through Jesus. Jesus' life, death, and resurrection were meant to rescue the doubters, the debtors, and the broken. People like you and me. He met my doubts with grace and love, and he only asked one thing of me. Believe.
Wow, that particular audio clip is called Doubting Easter, and of course that is St. Thomas, something I think we can all relate to.
With all that care, I have to say, Lord, you take me when you will. Somebody said to me the other day, "Are you saying you wouldn't mind if you lived to be 100? I said, "No, I'd be happy." Why? Because I could have this wondrous opportunity we call life to make the right decision. Say, "Lord, I'm not worth much physically anymore. I can't walk or I can't move, but I love you." Isn't that awesome? That sentence, "I love you, God," will be there for you waiting forever, for all eternity. You will experience the joy, extra capacity to know, love God forever.
Oh, Mother, Mother Angelica, it was actually really hard to find one clip that would do her justice. And she, of course, was the foundress of EWTN, died on Easter Sunday, and what a life. In 1981, a simple nun using merely her entrepreneurial instincts. Now, again, she's a cloistered nun. She had $200 at this point, launched what would become the world's largest religious media empire in the garage of a Birmingham, Alabama monastery. Under her guidance, the Eternal Word television network grew at a staggering pace at a staggering pace, both in viewership and in influence, to where it now reaches over 100 million viewers in hundreds of countries around the globe. That's a portion of the biography written by Raymond DeRoyo called Mother Angelica, The Remarkable Story of a Nun, Her Nerve, and a Network of Miracles. And if you have not read this book, I highly recommend it. And that really doesn't even do it justice. I can't tell you how powerful this book has been. And especially if you're at a point in your life where things are beginning to emerge, you're at a crossroads, or you're going to do something big and you feel it, whether you're going to be writing something, starting a new job, beginning a new ministry, adopting some kids, whatever the case might be, embarking on your own, this book will change your life. I mean, even if you're just cruising along, it will. But I remember that her being from the Canton, Ohio area and taking her solemn vows at Santa Clara Monastery, which is a place where all of my boys began to serve for the first time as altar servers. We've had so many amazing experiences there. And knowing that she started a media empire, I just always felt like she was my best friend, but just didn't know it. I just have loved her so much. And I know when I say that, it's echoed by so many across the world, and for good reason. So I highly recommend that book. It's the Remarkable Story of a Nun, Her Nerve, and a Network of Miracles. And I also wanted to give a plug to the Rhoda Wise Home. And if you read that book, or if you look at her story, you'll not be able to get very far without hearing the name Rhoda Wise. And it's because Rhoda lived in Canton during the Great Depression, and then up through, I think she died in 1948, but 14,000 people attended her funeral. She was a mystic. She was blessed with the stigmata and suffered greatly. She was a Protestant who had a 39-pound tumor removed from her stomach. And while she was recovering at the hospital, a nun came in and gave her a rosary and told her how to pray it. And Rhoda thought that was a joke, or just was fascinated but also amused at the same time. All of her family was very anti-Catholic. And she began to have a devotion to St. Thérèse the Little Flower. And to make a long story short, St. Thérèse changed her life. She converted to the Catholic faith. And then she began to receive visits from Christ. Her husband, who had been alcoholic his whole life, then had a conversion as well. And she received the stigmata, had many, many healings at the home. And Mother Angelica, Rita Rizzo at the time, was one of them. I think it was dropped stomach, but she had a condition that was very painful, was supposed to be lifelong. And then there was a point where Rhoda Wise sat up in bed and she was speaking to Jesus and she said, "My Rita?" And she had been shown a vision of all that Mother Angelica would accomplish. And it all happened. So it just gives you chills how God works and how there is this whole spiritual world that we don't know about, but we have eyes of faith to know it's there. But the depth and scope, we won't fully know, of course, until we get to heaven. But there's a book. It's called Her Name Means Rose, and it is the Rhoda Wise story. And it's funny because I just shared briefly on Instagram about that, and Jennifer from California messaged me, and she said, "I just tried to order this book on Amazon, and it's like $700, so that's not going to work." But I don't know why they do that, but I know that at the Rhoda Wise House, they're 10 bucks. So if you go to rhodawise.com, and it's RHODAWISE, RhodaWise.com. You can call the Rhoda Wise House and order it, and they'll send it to you. Or you can reach out to me. I can go and get it for you along with some holy water and send it to you. I'll do that just because I love you. So it's Rhoda Wise, and her name means Rose, and also Mother Angelica. And there's so much to say, so much to pray or ask her to pray for us with this amazing woman who has changed and impacted lives in ways that we will never fully know the quantifiable nature of, mine included. So if you get a chance, you can go to EWTN and watch the ceremony, the funeral that will unfold on Friday. And of course, read that book. It's so fantastic. Padre in your pocket. On good things, great deal. Today's topic is Divine Mercy. It is the Year of Mercy, and also Divine Mercy Sunday is something that's observed and celebrated every year. Father Nathan, could you tell us what it is and why? Why is it so important?
Divine Mercy is the outpouring of the heart of Jesus in his personal love for each one of us. I love this feast. I love this devotion because it's that intense personal encounter between me and my Savior. And how beautiful to celebrate that. It's almost like if you were to imagine a family and you were to be like, and this is the feast day of the kiss between mom and dad. I mean, you know, I mean, the kids would just be so happy. And you're like, this is the feast day of the kiss because this is the feast day of God's unique love for me. And we proclaim that to the whole world. God doesn't love us all. He loves each one of us. And so all of our names are inscribed by a personal act of mercy where he washed my sins away. Peter was forgiven in a unique act of forgiveness. The centurion was forgiven in a unique act of forgiveness. Each of the apostles had their foot washed one after the other. Each one of us is loved uniquely by Jesus, the Savior, who carried all of our personal sins on the cross and died our personal deaths. This is why he can say, I am the good shepherd and I know my sheep and my sheep know me. You are in my hand, he says in John 10, and no one can take you from my hand. I have written you upon the palm of my hand. Set me like a seal upon your heart and a seal upon your arm. I just love that intimacy. He puts us into his hand and asks us to put him into his heart. This is divine mercy. And so on this feast day, you have the official church and all of the liturgical celebrations and all of us priests who like to speak with big words, proclaiming loud and clear with all of the force of our souls, Jesus Christ loves you. What a day. I hope that on this day you meet him because he is coming for you from the tomb. He did not stay in the tomb. He came out of the tomb looking for his sheep. And he's going through the highways and the byways and the mountains of history and into the valleys of your depressions and your anxieties and your financial problems and your strife with your husbands and your self-hatreds. And he's coming through those brambles because our Lord Jesus Christ will find you and put you on his shoulders. You are never outside of the stretch of his mercy and the outstretched arms of him on the cross. Ladies, today let Jesus come because he's coming for you.
So spring break is here, and for many families, depending on the age and stage of your kids, it could be terrific, it could be a little bit stressful, and for us, it's kind of a mix of all of that. You know, our money's tight, so that kind of limits our options, and just to give you the outline, we have five kids ranging in age from 14 down to 4, and our foreign exchange student. It was really funny because our foreign exchange student ended up going to Chicago for spring break, but the night before she left, which was Good Friday, she had two other Chinese students come in and they spent the night and then they left together the next morning. But these girls are all speaking Chinese. We have this crazy dog. It's a German Shepherd. He was my husband's 40th birthday present. And so he only knows German commands. So we've got, we're saying nein and sitzen and all this to our German shepherd. And then Vivian and her family and her friends are speaking Chinese. And it's this crazy madhouse that is just kind of the way you just never know. You never know how the Lord is going to take your life and what adventures and highs and lows are going to happen. But it's been good. And Easter was good for our family. It was a beautiful weather day here. And I have to be honest in that the actual mass was a little bit stressful. You know, we had our whole family and everybody looked good, but Carolina is going to be 6 this year. And so she's getting bigger and stronger. And she has done really well in recent times of going up and sitting in mass, but she just wasn't into it on Sunday. And now that she is older, she flaps around. She'll pick our nose and she will put her finger in our mouths, whatever the case might be, scream. And it's just, you know, it's an autistic component. It's a sensory component. It's who she is. But my husband and I were both sweating. Have you ever had that happen where you're actually sweating when, and I think about, you know, they never used to have air conditioning in church, but nevertheless, he had to take her out. And it was hard because you prepare and you think about how amazing and special this mass is going to be that you you've waited for. And last year we went to the vigil, and if I could, I would go every year. But when you do have little kids or a large family, it's just not possible all the time. Or sometimes maybe your kids are serving at a different mass. And so I think it's important to be gentle with ourselves about what combination, sometimes somebody has to work, about what we can do. But the beauty of Sunday was that the weather was so nice. So I was able to get a little run in. And I actually felt like that was a time where I was able to more contemplate and process what Resurrection Easter Sunday really meant, as opposed to almost being in the sanctuary at Mass, although it was beautiful, but slightly stressful. So that was a little bit of our Sunday. And now we're on to spring break. So a couple tips for you. If you are looking for good ideas that are on a budget, you can do a couple of these that I found. First is have a themed movie night. So if it's, for instance, if it's Star Wars, you can make like lightsaber snacks. If it's Anne of Green Gables, you can make Matthew and Marilla cupcakes or whatever the case might be. And some recent movies that we've seen that I would give a thumbs up and recommend is The 33. That's about the Chilean miners. And I'm trying to think age-wise. I know there is a plot, a subplot of the storyline of one of the miners. He's having an affair and he's also married at the same time. And they make it funny, but for little ones, it's probably not the best. So I would say maybe, a date night for mom and dad. That could be, but it was a good movie. And also The Letters. That's the film about the life of soon-to-be Saint Mother Teresa of Calcutta. It's rated PG, highly recommended. That's one for all ages. I think even the little ones can see that there's this beautiful nun. She's going into these places where people are sick and need help and hungry, and she's loving them. So that's a good one too, The Letters. Next tip for spring break, you can maybe redecorate. Maybe a child wants to redo their room. Let them change up their bed around. Let them reorganize. Have a picnic if it's nice. Take a hike. Start maybe to plant a garden. Visit a museum or a farm. Maybe take your teenager to get a job. That's what I'm thinking about. So just a couple tips for spring break. And God bless you as you go through the week. I hope it's a good one.
Hey, Mambo. Mambo Italiano. Hey, Mambo. Mambo Italiano, go, go, go. You mixed up a Siciliano. All you Calabrese do the mambo like a crazy with a hey, mambo.
For the first time ever on the podcast, maybe ever in the history of our marriage, we're sharing the same microphone. We're on the same program together. It's my husband, Jim, and I. And it's because we have a special announcement. And it's not a baby or anything. I saw the color just leave his face. But it's a invitation to you to join us on a pilgrimage to Southern Italy. And the funny part is that when we record, it's just out there. It's raw. You get what you hear. And we add some production elements, thanks to our producer, but for the most part, it's unedited. However, we did have to go back and re-record this particular interview because I want to just play the beginning of our this is the first time we've done this, when I started to share about the trip to Italy. Take a listen to how it sounded. Can you talk a little bit about why you're excited about this trip and the blessings of pilgrimages in the past you've taken?
I love the historical perspective of things, and to be put into the actual cradle of society is something that's awe-inspiring.
So based on that, we're going to do a take two with my enthusiastic husband. Oh, he's going to pick up the energy a little bit. Jim, welcome to the show.
I'm so excited that I could just sing "O Salomio," but I won't because I don't want to deter any of your audience members.
Well, you normally are. I'm the big mouth. I talk all the time, and you're the more reserved, contemplative, I guess I would say. And so this is a little bit out of your comfort zone, although you have no problem talking. But when it comes to pilgrimages, the reason why I wanted to bring you on board is because I think that whether it's someone single and they're retired, whether it's a young couple, or you've been married 20 years, 10 years, it's so important to do this together. And I wanted to get the guy perspective because you're the one that does the bills. You're the one that crunches the numbers and that carries so much day-to-day stress. And to be honest, there's so much going on every day that you aren't naturally one to say, hey, let's go take a pilgrimage. But you know how worthwhile it is. So can you share just a little bit before I get into the details of where in Southern Italy we're going and the dates, which are this August, but I'll give you all that coming up, why for you it's been such a blessing?
Oh, it's so rejuvenating. It helps just transition from day-to-day routines and to go do something that's fun, it's a blessing, and it's great to do.
And I know you love history.
Oh, I was just, yeah, that's where I was going with this, is that the historical value of it is irreplaceable.
And I think, too, that you do, you read a lot, you research a lot, you love history, I love history, but it's one thing to see a picture of a Michelangelo painting. It's another to take it in and to view the full scale of it.
Yeah, and to get lost in Italy and just stumble across a Caravaggio painting that you had no idea was in this little beautiful church that you just so happened to stumble across.
And I think laughter. You and I have never laughed so hard in our lives than the times that we've gone on trips. We went to Poland together. We were in Amsterdam together. And it's something that you and I will share forever and never forget, I don't think.
Oh, yeah, taking trips with the one you love is just something that's amazing.
Talk a little bit about the food, because I know that's definitely a perk for you.
Yes, buffalo mozzarella. That's all I have to say.
But you love that, and because it's with the caprese salad, with the tomatoes.
The caprese salad, and then the pizza.
With anchovies and Giuseppe giving the pizza. I'm pulling a Jim, because you always try to be Italian.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Anything else to add?
No.
Okay. It's going to be amazing.
It's going to be amazing.
Thank you. And here's the details now. It will be from August 8th through the 20th this year. The good news is that you can make payments, but here's where we're going. It's going to be Sorrento, Capri, Tarmania, Mount Etna, Catania, Sicily, Amalfi Coast, Sorrento, the St. Philomena Shrine in Naples, and also Rome. That's where it culminates. And if we're blessed enough providentially to see Pope Francis, will be in the Wednesday audience. Traditionally, popes go to their summer residence, but he's been there these last few summers, and so hopefully that'll be the case. In the meantime, we're staying in 3- and 4-star hotels. All of the meals are included, and when I say included, I mean above and beyond what you'd ever imagine. Authentic cuisine made locally that you just can't duplicate. In addition, unlimited red and white wine every night, plus everything else in and on top of that, from the transportation to any tips or tickets that you might even have to think about. It's all done. And airfare from anywhere in the United States. The cost is $4,600. It's 13 days. With Father Jay Clark, who will be our spiritual director. And so imagine being able to go to Mass in these ancient churches. And that's what we do. They set us up in churches, whether it's underneath in a basement church, and it's in a cave type setting. We've had that experience before. Or whether it's in a grand cathedral. You never, when we were, do you remember when we were in Florence, we were under the dome, the famous red dome, and that, and we were able to go to Mass there. It was amazing, but space is limited on this trip. And if you want to find out more, you can visit saintgabrielmedia.com. That's our ministry. It's saint spelled out S-A-I-N-T, saintgabrielmedia.com. And you can shoot me an email with any questions too. Thank you to my dear husband. Are you going to wear a Speedo?
Absolutely.
With the Italian or the American flag on it?
Well, I'm an American.
Well, I mean, I need to ask when we're in Italy. I can't always tell with your accent. I don't know.
Sicilians might need some help with something.
Okay. Thank you. I love you. And with that, we're wrapping up episode number 51 of Good Things Radio. Thank you so much for being here and a part of the show. Thank you to my guests today, my mom, Father Nathan Cromley, Vicky, for taking the time to share feedback via Voxer, and also my husband, Jim. I'm very enthusiastic about the trip coming up to Italy. God bless you, and thank you to each one of our guests today. If you want to be a guest, even via feedback, we'd love to hear from you. Every time you write in, it's a blessing, it's a boost, it adds to the show. Feedback@goodthingsradio.com is how you can reach out. Share your thoughts about the show. Also, if you've been on iTunes, that's the best way to subscribe. You can leave a review there, and every time there's a new episode, you'll get a notification. Also on podbean.com, look up Good Things Radio, and you can be a good friend that way. Just search up the crowdfunding button and you can donate. There's no minimum, there's no maximum. We appreciate every single one of our Podbean patrons. Thank you so much to my producer, Mark Cumming from Cumming Home Studio, for his dynamic skills and quick work. Mark is a producer extraordinaire and wears many hats. So if you want to find out more and reach him, check him out at cumminghomestudio.com. God bless you. Thank you so much for joining us on the program, and may divine mercy cover you as the Savior exits the tomb and looks for you and seeks your heart. Amen.